And now we start hour number two. What's going on? Hope you're having a good Tuesday. I am Jim Rome. I'm having a great day. In case you're curious. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. As always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home in a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Coming up in 20 minutes from right now, we talk to Green Bay Packers D-lineman Kenny Clark. Phone lines are open. But as promised, we start right now by having a conversation with a safety for the Indianapolis Colts. He signed with Indy this offseason. He is a Super Bowl champion, played his college ball in Virginia. He was undrafted way back in 2012, coming off a big game in that win over Kansas City. He had five tackles, and he had an INT. The Colts are 1-1-1. They host a big divisional game against Tennessee on Sunday. Rodney McLeod is my guest. Rodney, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you. So let me start with that huge win over the Chiefs. You played a really prominent role in that one. You had the pick to ice it. Let me start right there. What did you see on that play? And given the fact that the team is constantly talking about the importance of turning the other guy over, how good did it feel to be that guy?
Man, it felt very good to seal the game for our team. That was an assist from my guy, Gilly. Doing what he does best, man, making plays. I was just there, right moment, right time. But it came at a big moment, obviously, in the game. 7 seconds left. Chaotic before the play with a lot of communication going on that was needed. But we knew how big that play was in order to get the victory, man, and glad to be able to come away with a huge win, get us back on track, first win of the season at home in front of our fans. No better feeling than that.
You know, you were leading me to the very next point about how big that was and whether or not something like that can get the season back on track. Before we go there, I mean, you've done this a long time, so you know the old saying, turnovers come in bunches. That's what, quote, they say. Do they actually? Is there something to that? Do you feel like turnovers do come in bunches?
I believe that holds true. Of course, you get a turnover earlier in the game, man, and it just creates now this momentum, I think, that carries on to the rest of the guys. And same way, you know, winning is contagious. The same thing with turnovers. Once somebody gets one, everybody wants, you know what I'm saying, a piece of it ultimately. And that's what we're trying to breed here, you know, in Indianapolis for our defense, knowing how impactful turnovers are, the difference they can make in the game, and it increases your chances to win.
Rodney McLeod is joining us. Big win for the team. So you touched on this. So let's finish the thought. The season did not start the way you necessarily had hoped, and this is just one game, but it's a big game. I mean, given who that win came against and how you finished that game, does it feel like the type of win that could jumpstart a team and maybe an entire season?
Yes, sir. I believe so. Winning versus the Kansas City Chiefs was huge for us, knowing we didn't start the season off the way that we would have liked. But at the end of the day, man, we were afforded another opportunity. That's the great part about this game. And there was no better opponent to get back on track against than the high power Kansas City Chiefs. You know, everybody outside of the building, you know, said we were done. We had no chance, but we believed in one another. It's a resilient group. And that showed, you know, not only after starting the first two games and coming back with a win, but also in that game, because it wasn't perfect, but we hung together and we made plays when needed in all three phases of the game.
So, Rodney, if everybody was saying that outside the building, I'm curious, what was being said inside the building? Did anybody point the finger? Did anybody blink? Like, we know what's going on outside the building, but none of us know what's going on inside. What was going on inside?
Inside, it was guys coming together. Guys, honestly, being critical of one another, of as an individual, how can we improve? What do we need to do to get better, to put ourselves in better position to win? And I think what we saw was, you know, everybody just taking turns. But I think the mindset for the week was, you know, get back to work and find a way to get better. Because if you get better individually, it'll help our team collectively. And I think that's what you saw on Sunday, was this consistency by everybody on the team, and it translated into a win.
Rodney McLeod joining us. You know, I'm curious, Rodney, it sounds to me like what you're saying is, you know what we did? We just had communication. We had some hard conversations that had to be had, but we just communicated. I'm curious, you know, you're a guy with a ring. You're a guy who's been in the league now 11 years. You have credibility and everything that comes along with that, but you are new to the team. So when there's a sense of urgency early on and things are not going well, how did you personally approach that? Like, do you want to impose your will and share your thoughts? Do you want the young guys to kind of seek you out? What did you do when you knew that was a really important week?
I think just go back to your process. That's where it all starts. Your level of preparation, your practice habits, all those things help, you know, make you put you in best position possible on Sunday to succeed. And I think for us, it was defensively speaking, it was going back to the basics, whether it was tackling, whether it was technique, eyes, basic fundamentals that, you know, our day one that we discussed that we kind of got away from. And so I think what you saw on Sunday was, you know, it all coming together. Everybody, each and every play being consistent, doing their job to the best of their abilities. And when we do that, we seen results. But the problem was we weren't doing it consistently enough. And so Sunday, that was on full display, man. It took everybody on that defense, you know, to get that job done, to contain Mahomes and the weapons that they have. So, you know, kudos to everybody that suited up on Sunday for us.
It's got to feel great when it comes together. Rodney McLeod joining us. You know, when you talk about relying on the process and relying on your fundamentals and going back to doing what got you here, I mean, that sounds like somebody who's been in the league 11 years. But when you consider that you were undrafted out of college, for those who do not know that story, I mean, when you go undrafted out of college, even despite the college career you had, the guys that make it in the league as undrafted free agents are so few and far between, much less stick. So knowing that, knowing the journey you've taken, knowing that you're 11 years in, knowing that you have a ring, how much pride do you have in knowing all this given where you started?
Yeah, I take a lot of pride in my journey and my story and how I've been able to play 11 years in the league and make a name for myself and play it at a high level for some time. It doesn't come easy. And I revert back to, like I said, the process, you know, my regimen, every season, every off season, what does that look like? But I think the mindset is more important is, you know, how I approach each and every year is looking to prove myself once again, as if I'm that same undrafted guy, you know, back in St. Louis when nobody necessarily wanted me, but St. Louis gave me an opportunity, and I didn't want to be turned away. And so that's the same approach I take even at year 11, man, looking to prove that I still have more to give to this game and want to be able to make more plays as I did on Sunday for now, you know, my coach, teammates, and hopefully that will help us get to where we're ultimately trying to get to this year.
Talking to Rodney McLeod for another couple of moments. So you're new to the AFC South, but you don't need to spend much time in that division to know that when you're dealing with Tennessee, who you will be this weekend, you're dealing with that big dog, Derrick Henry. Looking at the tape, does he look to you like he's all the way back yet from that injury or pretty close to it?
Yes, he does. He looks good, to be honest. And everything starts with him on that offense. You know, we understand what Tennessee is about. They're a physical team. They want to impose their will on their opponents. And so we're going to have to continue to be stingy on defense, particularly in the run game. You know, we've been very good over the course of these three games. We have to show that once again on come Sunday if we want to be able to put ourselves in the best position possible to win. But we know what's at hand, man. We got to be a great tackling team, got sound, set edges, man, and population to the ball in order to, you know, contain Derrick Henry.
Hey, Rodney, you're not a guy who's afraid of contact, and from where I'm sitting, that looks like a physical defense. That Gus Bradley defense is looking like you guys are now playing with some physicality for sure. But if it were me and I were a DB and I'm in the open field and I see that big dog running downhill with a head of steam, I might be thinking that's not the most ideal place to be. What's it like and how do you approach it when that guy, the big dog, is running downhill? And it's you versus him.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a fearless mindset, that's for sure. That's part of the job that, you know, I signed up for and all of us on defense. And so, you know, this week we're up against a great challenge, man. Like I said, it's going to be we have to rally to the ball. It doesn't take, you know, all the time one man to bring him down. We know what type of runner he is and his ability. So for us, it's, you know, being a great tackling team, Gator tackling, in my eyes, you know, runners can't go too far without the legs. So I think we've all seen his clips. You don't want to go high. The stiff arm is deadly. Understand, you know what I'm saying, his skill sets. But it's going to be a great challenge for us. It's going to be fun, man, and I'm looking forward to it.
I think that's great. You do not want to go high. You do not want to be on the wrong end of that stiff arm and be one of those forever highlights. Listen, before you go, this is not a condition of the interview, but I want to ask you about this because when you've been in the league as long as you have, you clearly feel like there's a responsibility to give back. You and your wife, Erica, have been deeply invested in creating opportunities to give back. In 2020, for instance, you founded the Change Our Future Foundation that empowers kids through educational and developmental programs. Now you've added the Next Man Up initiative, which is focused on mentorship. What can you tell me about that? Why is that so critical?
Yeah, Next Man Up came about, man, just because of some of the statistics that stood out to us, you know, amongst our young black males, particularly in high school. You know, only 58% are graduating on time. And then, you know, also there's only around 5.5% of representation of black males in colleges. And so we want to be able to, you know, change the course of history by, you know, being able to mentor some of these young men back in Philadelphia. That will be taking place at Parkway Northwest with a series of workshops throughout the school year focused around philanthropy, entrepreneurship, investing, talking about, you know, colleges and giving them exposure to early career choices, mental health, you know, you name it, we're doing, to be honest. One in particular is, you know, human behavior and life choices and putting together case studies of individuals who may have not made the right decision, but taking a look at that and figuring out ways, you know, that we could prevent that moving forward. So I'm very excited about that and obviously, you know, what that's going to do for a lot of students, particularly black males, both ninth and 10th grade, getting them started early, getting them on a foundation, and hopefully putting them on a pathway of success.
Good for you. Excellent. I love that. The Colts 1-1-1. They're hosting Tennessee on Sunday. Their safety, Roddy McLeod, joining us, coming off a big game. Roddy, it's great to get caught up. Thank you very much. Good luck this week. I hope we can do it again soon.
All right. Appreciate you as always, man. Take care.
You too. Roddy, appreciate you. You're a pro. Absolute pro. Undrafted out of Virginia and 11 years in. And still playing at a high level. And he's got that ring. And he's got that presence. When we come back, talk some Packers football. Green Bay gets it done against Tampa Bay. Kenny Clark is having a huge year. He's my guest when we return. The NFL action is in full swing at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. Plus, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays right now. For every leg you add, you can boost your winnings up to 100%. With payouts bigger than ever, why would you bet on football anywhere else? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code ROME, and get $200 in free bets if your team does win when you place a $5 bet on any football game. That's code ROME, R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You do have to be eligible or present in the state where lawful to wager, 21 or older in most eligible states. Age does vary by jurisdiction. Gambling problem, then call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Bonus issued is free bets. One boost per eligible game. 10-plus leg required for 100% boost. Opt-in required, deposit, parlay, and wagering restrictions do apply. Eligibility and terms at DraftKings.com/football terms.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
nose tackle Kenny Clark coming up momentarily. All right, so clones, one quick question. Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? There is something to be said for a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by other brands. All beef jerky is not the same. Make sure that you choose Old Trapper. You can actually see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. Every single bite of Old Trapper, thank you, Alvy, is tender, never tough, because they use only the best ingredients. From their lean strips of beef, seasoned with top-quality spices, to their real wood-fired smoke, Old Trapper delivers quality in every single bite. And Old Trapper comes in four amazing flavors: old-fashioned, classic beef jerky flavor, exceptionally tender, smoky, delicious, teriyaki with the yellow label, where Old Trapper turned the flavor dial to 11, hot and spicy with a spice so nice you'll want to snack twice, and peppered, tender, seasoned beef covered in cracked pepper, a cold beer's best friend. If you don't see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? We'll have a beef segment for you tomorrow, but as always, you don't need to wait until Wednesday to share your beef. SA Sports Honk somehow gets in. He writes, Rome, seeing James Larden and Zion Williams in shape is so disappointing. Sincerely, dudes who see their ex and she's not fat. Yeah, nice try, Ken. Nothing about that was right, Ken, including your decision to hit send. All right, as promised, something more important, we are joined right now by a nose tackle for the Green Bay Packers. He is a two-time Pro Bowler. He was the 27th overall pick in 2016 at UCLA. 322 tackles, 27 sacks, 5 fumble recoveries in 7 years with the Pack. Coming off a big game against Tampa Bay, he had 4 tackles. He had 2 sacks for Green Bay in that win. Green Bay is 2-1. They're hosting the Patriots on Sunday. Kenny Clark is my guest. Kenny, really good to have you on the show. How are you?
Good. Good, Jim. How you doing?
Good, dude. Good. It's good to have you back. So listen, before we talk about the Patriots, let me go back. You played a really important role in helping the Pack grind out that win, a tough road win, Kenny, over Tampa Bay. Overall, how pleased were you with the way the team showed up defensively?
Man, I was very pleased. I think we knew it was going to be a defensive game. Knew it was going to come down to the last second. We were going to have to play a four-quarter battle. And just happy about how our defense performed. We stopped the run very well. We were physical in there and stopped their run game and limited them to like 30 yards rushing. And then we knew we had an advantage up front in the passing game. And I think we did a great job at rushing the passer and, making things hectic in there for Tom Brady. For him not to step up, or whether it was getting hits or getting pressures, we were in their space and forcing them to make bad throws. So really, really proud of how our defense played, and we had what, like two turnovers also. So really proud of how we played.
We're talking to Kenny Clark. You broke that down really nicely. I was going to ask you about the run game and the job you guys did on Leonard Fournette. Obviously, coming in, you knew that they were pretty banged up at wide receiver, and they were going to make it a high priority to get Fournette going. He had a couple of big games coming in. So how big of a point of emphasis was that for you defensively? And then what did you do to make it so tough on him?
I think that was the number one, the number one emphasis throughout the whole week. Leonard Fournette had two or three great weeks before that, so we knew we were gonna have a battle up there up front with them in the run game, and just staying stout. We had to play a lot of double team blocks. DC, DeMondre Campbell, and Quay, they all played well in the run game, and we were just physical, knocking the line of scrimmage back, and just trying to win the battles up front.
Kenny Clark's joining us. Kenny, I think you and I have talked about this in the past, but the sack is not an end-all stat, right? But you did get home twice. And not only did you have 2 sacks, but you were disruptive throughout. You're off to a really, really good start this season. I understand there's a lot of work to be done, but do you feel like you're playing some of the best ball of your career right now?
Yeah, 100%. I feel like I'm playing the best that I've ever been playing, honestly. I still want to make some improvements, of course, in the run game, clean some stuff up. But as far as just pass rushing and just being straight up disruptive. I feel like I'm at the height of my games right now as far as doing that. I've been very disruptive this year to this point. I've been great at pass rushing this year and holding my the point of attack, you know, in the run game too. So I got to just keep it going, keep staying healthy, and just keep staying with that same mindset I'm going into every week, and the sky be the limit for this year.
Kenny Clark joining us. I think those who know, right? Those who know. Those who know how disruptive and dominant you've become. Let me ask you this, and I understand team first, but is it good enough that those who know, or do you feel like you've now earned the right to be mentioned alongside the best in the game at what you do, and that you should be more of a household name now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a lot that drives me this year, man, is that as crazy as it sounds, I think my body of work lines up with all the best guys in the league, and I feel like I still don't get the credit that I deserve. On top of, you know, wanting to win the Super Bowl, wanting to be an All-Pro, wanting to go to another Pro Bowl, and all my other goals that I got, it's just proving people wrong and becoming that household name, because I still feel like I don't really get the credit that I deserve, especially with my track record and how many great years I've had in the league and how I've been starting this year. So I'm definitely fighting for all that.
I personally agree, which is why I posed that question like that. Let me ask you this. I know it's the other side of the ball, but given what this guy means on and off the field and how hard he's had to work to come back from injury, what was it like for you to see David Bakhtiari back in action?
Man, it's great. I mean, he changes the whole offensive line, changes the whole offense. You see with him and Big E coming back, the run game, man, the run game looks real good. They did a really good job at protecting Aaron. And you just see how much, he means to this team and how much he means to the run game. Our offensive line is very young. We got a lot of young guys inside, so we needed those, veteran guys to come back in and get those guys on track. So excited about, the development of the offensive line and development of our team. And I think our offense is going to really start hitting all cylinders as we start getting all those guys back.
We're spending a few more moments with Green Bay Packer Kenny Clark. Kenny, I got to ask you, and something else I think you and I have talked about, but I'm an L.A. native. You grew up in Southern California. You went to UCLA. And we have a son that goes to the University of Wisconsin, and we have a house in the Northwoods. In fact, I'm going to be in Madison this weekend for the Badger game. I've got to ask you, as a fellow SoCal native, what's it like for you? And you've been there a while, but what's it like to live and work in Green Bay as somebody who came up in Southern California?
I love it out here. It fits my personality well. Like, I'm just a chill, mellow guy. I just feel like, that – Green Bay just fits that mold for me. I always tell people this, like, as small as it is, just little stuff like just seeing kids just playing outside, I don't see that, growing up in L.A. Well, like, when I was growing up, I used to be outside, but, like, nowadays, you don't really see, like, kids outside and, people going on walks. As little as that is, like, you see all that kind of stuff in Green Bay now, just – it's real family oriented here. People love each other here. It's real. Everybody here is nice and respectable to each other. So that's what I really love about this place. It just brings you back down to earth and makes you appreciate all the little things.
Preach, dude. Preach. I so know what you're talking about. And I'm not here to dog our hometown because I still love Southern California. We moved to Orange County. I love L.A. But there's something different about the Midwest. There is that Midwest mentality, and the people there are so nice. Kenny, before you go, I want to ask you about something really quickly. I mentioned that you had been in the Pro Bowl twice. I got to get your reaction to the announcement that the league has finally decided to abandon trying to play a competitive game, and they're going to replace it with a skills competition and a flag football game. Having been there a couple of times yourself, what's your reaction to that?
I think it would be good. I don't know exactly how they're going to tie the big guys. I mean, I know a lot of the big guys are going to want to be doing a 7-on-7 competition, but you know, it's exciting to see, you know, what they can do to make the game, I mean, make it more competitive and make the game more exciting. I don't really think, like, the game was that competitive. You know, guys don't really want to be out there getting hurt over a game that doesn't really mean nothing. So, you know, we'll see how that works out. But any way they can make it more competitive and you know, make it fun for everybody and enjoyable to watch, I think it's going to be good for the league.
Kane, last thought. I don't want to belabor the point because you just nailed it, but I've never understood that. That's the whole thing about that game, right? I mean, it's not competitive, so nobody wants to risk getting hurt. But what was it like to be in a game where nobody wanted to risk getting hurt, but it wasn't competitive? Like, how in the world do you approach a game like that?
Yeah, it's tough, man. You just really try to just have fun, and you know, you don't want to hurt guys out there. You don't want to get yourself hurt, you know, over a game that really doesn't mean nothing. So it's kind of, you know, it's tough mentally, you know, trying to get ready for it. It's just a whole lot of gray area that you don't really know. You know what I'm saying? So. You know, I think people like pick and choose to play hard in the game every now and then, depending on the quarter and depending on how close the game is and all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, you know, it's pretty chill, and I feel like guys don't really want to get hurt, including myself. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I understand it. I understand it on the league part, trying to make it more competitive, but I understand on the players' part of, you know, safety and, you know, trying to, you know, save themselves, you know what I'm saying? So I get it on both.
I do know what you're saying. I appreciate your part, especially. I appreciate that response. Green Bay is 2-1. They're hosting the Patriots on Sunday. He is a 2-time Pro Bowler and playing at an extremely high level. Off to a quick start once again. Kenny Clark, my guest. Kenny, do appreciate you. Thank you very much. Great to have you back on. Good luck this weekend.
Oh, yeah, man. I always appreciate you, too. Thank you.
You got it. Kenny Clark. He is a great player and playing at a really high level. And I don't think he's going to come right out and say, hey, man, why are they not talking about me more? But he could, and he'd be right. And those who know, that is a really, really good player. And I loved his response as a Southern California native saying, you know what, I like it here a lot. I like it here a lot because you see kids out, you see families out. It's not necessarily like that back home. Everybody's nice. I'm chill. It's laid back. It's cool. I like that. I get that vibe. I've told you, somebody once hit me on an ATP. Hey, Rome, which neighbors do you like better, your Southern California neighbors or your Wisconsin neighbors? And I said, well, given that I don't know a single neighbor by name where I live in California, I'm going to say my Wisconsin neighbors. And that's actually true. I don't know my neighbors by name. Not in the current house I live in. I literally don't. If you were to say to me, what's the name of the family directly across the street to you? I would say, I don't know. Fact. Okay, Rome, what about the family to the right side of you? I don't know. I do know that when we bought the house and cut down some trees, they left me a note saying, put those trees back up. We want our privacy. That's my name.
Private.
So I don't know. I mean, nice people. Nice people, but I do not know their name. But I can tell you the names of a lot of people on my street in the Northwoods. And yes, in case you missed it, we are making a run midweek to Madison. Jake Rome, who is the older brother to Rogan Lome, is already a senior at Wisconsin. It seems like yesterday I was on the air saying, we have a senior in high school going to college, and here are the colleges that we're looking at. And then I mentioned Wisconsin, and the Wisconsin Mafia came out, led by Kelly Call, president of CBS Entertainment. And they took their trip, and that was that. Once Jake got in, there was no going back. Quote, Rogan Lome sent out his first couple of applications yesterday. So, Logan, and this is interesting, when I mentioned that Jake, back then, was applying to, among other places, Arizona State, the president of Arizona called the call-in line and said, no, sir, we cannot have the offspring of Jim Rome going to our rival school. He needs to come to Arizona. That said, the very first application that Logan Rome hit send on yesterday was, in fact, Arizona State. But again, Logan is kind of caught in this place of he wants to play baseball, but if he does play baseball, it's going to be a smaller program. He's not playing baseball at Arizona State. We know this. So Logan has to decide, am I going to play baseball? Am I just going to be a college student? Or will the baseball powers that be make that decision for him? Anyway, that's where we're at. He also informed us at dinner that he sent out a second application, but I'm not sure where to. But I know that he has already taken trips to Boulder. He went and he saw Indiana. He went and he saw Purdue. He already knows Madison, and we already know he's not getting in there. No offense, son. And we'll see. Other trips to be taken. But Arizona State was the very first application that he sent out yesterday. Carlin Prescott writes, Zion and Harden still look obese to me. Signed, Karen Carpenter. Hey, Carl, do I look like somebody who hosts a show that resets Karen Carpenter? Does Karen Carpenter have anything to do with anything I've ever spoken about? Ever. Ever. No. So why are you sending that? Dude, on my worst day ever, my worst material is still a million times better than that. I would never, ever mention her. Hey, Jim, damn you, Alvy, for playing that Yoko Ono screech. It should be outlawed by every humanitarian agency as an illegal torture method. The brutality of it is almost beyond comprehension. Jim and Hastings, we're Jera, circumcising all the mosquitoes in Texas.
Circumcising the mosquito.
Dude, it's art. What, now you're the arbiter of art? Now you get to decide what art is? Or what music is? You're the curator? You're the arbiter? Oh, all right, Jim. Jim says that we can't play that anymore. And not only that we can't play it, but it's not actually music, but a, quote, illegal torture method. Oh, all right, Jim and Hastings, whoever made you God and the arbiter of art. And finally, Jim, if your viewers in Miami need to evacuate, maybe consider heading to Middle Tennessee. They always beat the Hurricanes. Too soon? Jake in New York City. Yes, Jake, too soon. However, we will have the coach of Middle Tennessee tomorrow to talk about that. Not looking to pile on the Canes. All right, when we return, I want to talk more about NBA media days. I want to finish my thought on Zion and James Harden. I want to give them credit for doing what they had to do to get in shape, and they look great. They both look great. Which means there goes all your fun, dopes. Can't call those two guys fat anymore because they're not.
Fat!
So I want to give them credit for the offseason work they put in, but not too much credit for doing what you should have been doing already. I'll finish that thought. I want to talk about Kyrie and his act yesterday. And the Patriots and what's going on with them. And how awkward was Laker media day.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I want to remind you, clones, that not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. So you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares Old Trapper with your beef. All right, so just because I have the app open most of the time, I always look to see what's trending on Twitter. Oh, looky here. My guys, my band. Steely Dan. Right now, there's so many likes to fight guys ready to go. Steely Dan fan is so ready to give me the hands again. We've already gone there. I'm not going to go there again. You know where I come out on this band. Let me just say this. Without getting into it, and I'm not going to hot take you or stir the pot or get you all riled up, Steely Van or Steely Dan guy. Alvin, stop. Turn that crap off. Turn that off. I can't think. Thank you. I'm just going to say this.
You're welcome.
Had I ever gone through with that Odyssey request to give them my top 75 songs of all time, do you know how many Steely Dan songs would be in that top 75 of mine personally? None.
Zero.
I'll leave it at that. But they are trending again. And I have no idea why. I think somebody posed the question, Thin Lizzy or Steely Dan? Fish or Steely Dan? I don't know. I don't know. I really don't care. I'm just saying, I'm not going to take that rat poison. It's rat poison. Hell, rat over Steely Dan. How you like that? How's that grab you? I'm not taking the rat poison. I'm just saying I'm looking at what's trending on Twitter. All right, so what I do want to do is go back and finish the thought. And the thought was about Zion and James Harden and the fact that they both show up and they look great. They look great. So that's going to take a lot of the fun away from you clones that spend all of your days trying to think of new ways to call both of them fat. You can't do it anymore because it's not accurate. Fat. It's not factually sound. They're not. They look great. And I want to acknowledge that they put the time in and they look great. I want to acknowledge that I can't wait to see Zion and how he looks on the floor. He said it. I feel great. I have more energy. I can jump higher. I'm getting up and down. It feels amazing. I mean, dude, it has to. You look amazing. It's got to feel great. So I want to acknowledge they put the time in. They put the work in. They look great. Having said that, I am a little bit conflicted, right? I mean, are we going to give guys that much credit for doing what they're supposed to do? Take care of their bodies. They're professional athletes. Body as temple. Are you not supposed to do that? You know, that'd be like giving me credit for actually doing some prep before doing this show. So I'm kind of conflicted. Yes, I want to give them credit. Yes, that's the best I've seen James Harden look in a long time. Yes, that's the best I've ever seen Zion look. But that is the job, right? I'm just saying you clones are not going to have nearly as much fun as you used to now that these guys no longer look the way they used to look. But I don't want to give them too much credit. I don't want to give them too much credit. I mean, yes, I'm all about reinvention and living a healthy life. But let's not fool ourselves. These two guys are supposed to be pro athletes. They get paid a large amount of money to not be large. And while I do want to give Zion the credit for what looks like he lost, I don't know, 50 pounds or more, 85 pounds. I also know he's only played 85 games in his first three seasons in the NBA. As far as Harden tried to make the argument that, yeah, I hadn't done the work that I normally put in because I had not been healthy. Yeah, that or the hard living life, the club life, you know, the dinner table. Maybe those are the things that took a toll on this once generational offensive talent. I mean, this dude has not been the same multi-time NBA scoring champ that he was in Houston, and it hasn't been that way for a long time. He says, I took my diet more seriously, I got more sleep, and that's why I look the way I do right now. Well, if you'd been doing all those things in recent years, you would not have had as drastic a fall off that cliff the way you did, James. And I'm not here to hate. I'm not here to hate. The NBA right now is wide bleeping open, much more so than it's been in a long time, and I think that's a good thing. And with Zion and James Harden in shape, there is no reason to think that New Orleans or Philadelphia can't compete for the Larry O this season, because they both can. But haters, like you did for the past 2 years to these two fellas, stick a fork in the fat smack.
Fat.
Alvin, don't you dare play that fat alarm around Air Gumbo and James Harden ever again. Not as long as they look the way they look right now. They did what they had to do. even if it should have never come to this, but better late than never. They pushed away from the table. They mixed in a salad. They hit the weight room. They limited the club runs. They got sleep. They look incredible. Credit for that, even if it should have never come to that. And clones, I would tell you to never, ever go in on somebody's chunk ever again, given how fat you probably are yourself. But I know I'd be wasting my time. But what you do need to do is back away from these two, or you will definitely be wasting your time. I love to. Everybody who can't wait to kill these guys because you're all Dadonises. That's a fact. I don't even know what you look like. A lot of you are just anonymous eggs on Twitter, but I guarantee you're not a Dadonis. Because if you were, you'd be posting a biopic of how great you look. And see, I can say that, Rome. I'm doing the work. No, you're not. No, you're not. You just have nothing better to do. Amber in Portland. Let's see what the lady clone has. Romy, good for James Harden getting his ass back in shape. Harden is no longer Lardin. War, Fupa, Doncic smack. Amber. Damn, Amber. Geoff and Lincoln. Wow, bro. Troll much? He's putting me on the spot here. Hey, Romy, Steely Dan or Huey Lewis in the news? It's hip to be square. I'll answer that, Geoff. Steely Dan critically is thought of as one of the all-time great bands. Nobody outside of Frisco gives a damn about Hubert. So I'm going to say Steely Dan, Geoff. Way to try to hook me there. Jimothy, I will do whatever it takes to keep Logan out of Tucson. We pity the kitty up here in Tempe. And contrary to my Twitter handle, the only cat I don't like is the mascot in Tucson. War Rogan Lone becoming a Sun Devil. Signed, Arizona Cat Guy. Wow. Maybe. Maybe. We'll see. All right, stay tuned. Hour number three coming up. Where should we send Rogan to college? Hit me up.